Blog Talk Radio.
Don't ever depart.
Inglaterra.
It's time for The Power in the Word with your host, the Reverend Ellen Jacobs. Let's give her a hand as she comes to the mic at this time.
Well, good afternoon on this cloudy afternoon, Friday, November 10th. We are very happy to be with you and to continue the study of the book of Micah. And before we begin, I'd like to have Sister Elva Stewart read an entry from the Daily Word. So, Sister Stewart, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Everyone. Hi.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I'm going to share with you the Daily Word. It's from Monday, July 31st, 2023. So it's kind of recent. And the word is world peace. And the affirmation is world peace begins with me. World peace begins with me. Perhaps no emotion is more precious or more powerful than the desire for peace among the world's people. This peace begins when we recognize that we are one in God. The divine image, the Christ, lives in every human heart. Knowing this, we think and speak with respect for everyone we meet, and as well as for people we will likely never meet. When so doing, we are affirming the divine peace in me greets the divine peace in you. We find ways to cooperate with those from all faiths, nations, and cultures. Each individual and each group bring a unique perspective that contributes to the richness of everyone's understanding. The divine light shining in each willing heart is now bringing peace to our world. And for that day, the Daily Word, the scripture was from Micah 4:3, and it reads, "They shall beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up swords against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore." And again, that's Micah 4:3. In the affirmation, world peace begins with me. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, because that is certainly the theme of what we will be talking about today, that world peace begins with me. Know that there are certain, and we sing that song in the Unity churches and in many other places, that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin with Me." And that is the text of, or the theme of chapters 4 and 5 of Micah, and those are the things that we'll be speaking about today. So last week we spoke on Micah 1, 2, and 3. And in 1, 2, and 3, we were told about Micah's mission to Judah to have the people of Judah repent from the iniquities and the sins and the idolatries and everything that were being practiced. And if so, then God would spare them the captivity and the exile that was going to happen, or what had happened to the Israelites, the 10 tribes of Israel. They had been conquered by the Assyrians. They had been taken into captivity, and their lands, etc., had been just decimated, etc. So the same thing was about to happen to the people of Judah. Micah came along and preached, and they listened. Micah is one of the successful prophets. They listened, And Hezekiah, who was king at the time, was able to have the Judeans stave off their conquering and exile and capture for over 100 years. And so Micah is one of the successful prophets. But we have to look at part of what he said, that is books, chapters 4 and 5, to see about how peace can come forth. Now, he prophesied that there would be peace in Judah, and if the people repented, most certainly God would see that this happened. And so we're going to be looking at his prophecy of the peace that Judah did have for 100 years after he preached. And so we know through this that peace is possible. Peace is very possible. In 2023, in the United States and in the whole world, there are wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of horrors happening, all kinds of personal violence, group violence. In every sphere, there is so much violence. There is no peace. However, because what we are speaking about today is that peace does exist. Peace does exist. It can be in every single one of us. And so that is the peace that we are working with today. Peace begins with me. Peace begins in my consciousness. Peace is possible for the planet. It begins in me personally. My personal consciousness must evolve so that I can live in peace. This is my contribution to world peace. Matter of fact, it is said in chapter 4 that I just want to say, how is peace established on the earth? And I'm speaking of Charles Fillmore's Truth and Unity, Micah 4. Yeah, we're given this question, how is peace established on earth? Warring thoughts are from the ignorant animal nature. So right away in the beginning of answering this question, we are thrust into ourselves and our own mentalities. Warring thoughts are from the ignorant animal nature. We know that thought precedes word, precedes action. So thought is where we're talking about today. We'll be talking about that, thought. When the spiritual man is unfolded in consciousness and the understanding is established that in spirit there is inexhaustible supply of every good thing, selfishness will disappear, and with it ambition and strife for the possession of material things, which are the primal causes of war. So if we look at the causes of war, it is because of our negative thinking, our fears that we have that we will not have enough, our selfishness that is wanting to keep what we have and add to it. So these are the things that we will be talking about, and these are the real causes of war. And so we will be talking about that, and we'll come back to all of that. Micah is the prophet of the downtrodden and the exploited people of Judean society. He prophesies during a period of great social injustice and boldly opposes those who impose their power upon the poor and the weak for selfish ends. I don't have to discuss that at all. We know where that is coming from. And so, therefore, in chapters 4 and 5, we will be dealing with these particular items. And let's go to chapter 4 immediately because of time. But before I go there, I just want to say that last week when we did chapters 1, 2, and 3, we came away, I hope, with certain Bible tenets and affirmations. The one that I think is so important is, I am full of power by the Spirit of Jehovah, of judgment and might. And so we know that these powers, this power is in us by the Spirit. And, of course, the one that we haven't come to, because I think it's in book 6 of chapter 6 of Micah, for what does the law require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Those are the affirmations that are so important to us. And as we go off into chapter 4, the Truth Unity Fillmore commentary is only covers verses 1 through 8 in chapter 4. So that is what we'll be working with. We'll also be doing chapter 5, part of it, and we're only going to talk about the parts that the Fillmore commentaries have to do with, and that's verses chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. So without further ado, Reverend Mary Lou is going to start talking to us about chapter 4. So, Reverend Mary Lou, if you will, go right ahead.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Reverend Ellen. So in Micah chapter 4, we'll do just the beginning of chapter 4 from verses 1 to 8. And so from the Truth Unity website, some of the metaphysical aspects of this chapter are as follows. Every follower of Jesus Christ believes in the possibility of universal peace and works for its establishment in the earth. That it will come, that peace will come, no sane man can doubt. It will come. Okay, peace or bankruptcy from many European nations would be inevitable. So instead of peace, there could be chaos. And so the advocates of more extensive armaments are working their own destructions. The people want peace, and they are going to have it. The evolution of the human race out of this barbarism and war into civilization demands this. And the divine law of God promulgated by Jesus the Christ will be fulfilled. Now, war will continue so long as religious teachers, fellow human beings, and secular leaders cultivate the destructive thoughts that are innately in their own characters. Peace will be established by people who love peace and have cultivated its qualities in themselves, the 12 faculties, as Charles Fillmore describes, until they no longer desire to destroy their fellow men. Now, warring thoughts within are from the ignorant animal nature. Now, when the spiritual nature of humanity is exercised, then all war will cease. This is the symbolical metaphysical teaching of Micah. And in the beginning of the chapter, this is clear. The Lord's house here referred to as the human body. Our Lord said, "You are the temples of the living God," and metaphysically, the mountains are the higher brain centers, and the top of the mountains is the spiritual brain, in the very apex of the cranium. Now, when men cultivate spiritual thoughts, this top brain is exalted above the hills. This is all metaphysical. And the whole consciousness or people shall flow onto this. Now, when the spiritual centers are quickened, they send out a far-reaching energy thought energy, and the whole race consciousness is lifted up to a higher level. Now, this is represented as many nations going up to the mountain of Jehovah. Now, when the spiritual consciousness is cultivated, until it rules the man wholly, integratively, a new ego is born, referred to in chapter 4, verse 5, which I can tell you, all this will happen. And this is from the Good News translation of Micah, chapter 4, verse 5. Each nation worships and obeys its own God, but we will worship and obey the Lord our God forever and ever. So this is our Christ consciousness, the Son of God, our Christ consciousness. Righteous judgment will be the rule in the exercise of every faculty and power of the man when Christ rules, when our Christ consciousness is in effect. Destructive thoughts, they're metaphysically the swords, shall be transformed into instruments of body culture, the plowshares. And the sharp, penetrating thoughts of cruelty, the spears, shall be turned into helpful ways. Now, the thought aggregations in the body shall not antagonize one another, neither shall there be any further cultivation of this warring spirit. And in Charles Fillmore, in the Truth Unity website for chapter 4, they have this: the foundation of war is fear that one's possessions will be taken away. When the higher consciousness, though, comes into expression, this fear of loss of our property will no longer exist. And that's in chapter 4, verse 4. Everyone will live in peace among their own vineyards and fig trees, and no one will make them afraid. So the scriptures, they teach that it is the feminine or the soul principle in man that leads him to sin. It was Eve who first ate. Now, this is just metaphysical. That first ate the forbidden fruit. This daughter of Zion is to be restored to her high estate and reign in the mounts forever. When man attains that permanent place of peace in his own inner consciousness, the evolution of peace within the inner consciousness of man. Jerusalem is the heart center where the feminine or affectional nature has its kingdom. To this realm shall be restored the harmonious dominion of the divine feminine, the daughter of Jerusalem. So in Truth Unity, it goes on as in Micah 1-3, there's a few questions. Now, metaphysically, what is the mountain of Jehovah's house referred to in Micah verse 4:1? And that is, in the days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it. Now, Jehovah's house is our body. We are the temple of the living God. The mountains are our higher brain centers, and the top of the cranium and the top of the mountains is the spiritual brain in the very apex of our cranium. When man cultivates spiritual thoughts, this top brain is exalted above the hills, and the whole consciousness of people shall flow to it. Now, when this spiritual center is quickened, it sends out a far-reaching thought energy, and the whole race consciousness is lifted up. This is represented as, quote-unquote, many nations going up to the mountains of Jehovah. Now, the metaphysical meaning of verse 3, which I will read here in chapter 4. He will settle disputes among the nations, among the great powers near and far. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. So when the spiritual consciousness is cultivated until it rules the man, then a new ego is born. This ego is referred to as he. It is the Christ consciousness, the Son of God. Righteous judgment will be the rule in the exercise of every faculty and power, when Christ reigns, when our Christ consciousness reigns. Destructive thoughts, the sword, these metaphysically, shall be transformed into instruments of body culture, plowshares, and the sharp, penetrating thoughts of cruelty, the spears, shall be turned into helpful thoughts. How can I help? The thought aggregations in body shall not antagonize one another, neither shall there be any further cultivation of the warring spirit. And then the next question would be, what will be the effect of concerted action in the cause of right and justice? Now, this action, the millennium, will be ushered in without further delay. This event awaits only man's awakening to the possibility of its accomplishment and the realization that his is the task of bringing this about. We are here to the evolution of our consciousness brings about, it's the beginning of bringing about this peace on earth. Now, the burden of the prophet in this process to bring the people to a realization of the truth that to know peace, inner peace, and happiness, they must live in harmony with the divine law of love that ensures their well-being. Micah points out the penalty of living contrary to this law. The foretelling of future events is only an incidental part of the prophet's real message. the prophet, Micah, his mission is to inspire and exalt the thoughts of the people and to bring their conduct into conformity with the truth. And now, what this means to me is, I have it right here, is, okay, a quote that I have here about us, about me. Okay, here is to the bridge builders, the hand holders, the light bringers, those extraordinary souls wrapped in ordinary lives who quietly weave threads of humanity into an inhuman world we are living in. They are the unsung heroes in a world at war with itself and with each other. They are the whispers of hope that peace is possible. Look for them in this present darkness. Light your candle with their flame, and then go. Each person, go and build bridges. Hold hands. Bring light to a dark and desperate world. Be the hero you are looking for. Peace is possible. This peace begins with us, and it begins with me. And so it is. Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Reverend Mary Lou, for beginning to discuss this with us. And it's very, very important. So if there's some repetition, it's just because this is it's not new territory for us. However, we need to be reminded of certain things, and it will vary from person to person. But I'm sure that we all know that peace is possible in the planet. Today's thrust about peace in the planet is that world peace begins with me. Just as the song that we sing in all of the Unity churches and in other places, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. So we know it is possible. And it begins with me, and that's with me personally. Personal consciousness must evolve so that let me change the wording. My personal consciousness must evolve so that I can live in peace. This is my contribution to world peace. When I awaken to my spiritual assignment, which is to be the change, the peace I want to experience for everybody, then peace is possible. But the thing is this, peace cannot come to us as in the planet or anywhere else within us, unless we change our thinking to conform with that which is peaceful, loving, understanding of abundance and the love of God and the givingness of God that we already have. It's already here. It's already right where we are. And so we are the ones who must look into it. Mankind, man is the only being that can make for world peace. And so therefore, I, as a person, have to contribute to world peace. And as what we're talking about today is, how do we make that contribution to world peace? And so in the Peace Unity website, Fillmore asked some very interesting questions, and we're going to look at it. Well, first of all, the first question that I was investigating is this one. what is represented by the divisions of the children of Israel into two kingdoms. Now, we know that there's the kingdom of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, and then 10 other tribes that are called Israel. Those 10 tribes and 10 tribes and Judah and Benjamin were at odds with each other. And so what does that mean for us personally? Well, what it means is this represents that the division that had taken place between the higher self and the lower self, the higher principles of man and the lower principles of man. These two kingdoms are Judah, which is our spiritual selves, and the 10 tribes, our material selves. The objective ideas of that we carry are Judah, and the subjective are the 10 tribes. The Son of God is Judah, and the Son of Man are the 10 tribes. And so, therefore, right within us, we have these divisions within us. And for there to be peace within ourselves, we have to reconcile these two. The question comes in, have these two been reconciled? No. The reconciliation was begun by Jesus the Christ, who in his own person, united the Son of God and the Son of Man. Through him, we all have the privilege of reconciliation with divine mind. And so as we pray, one of the things that we say as we do our affirmative prayer is, I am one, my mind and the divine mind are one. And so as we affirm that we are our mind and the divine mind are one, we are making room in us for this divine and wonderful reconciliation. Another question is, why do we all have to accept the reconciliation or the atonement or the at-one-ment, as we say, of Jesus the Christ? We all have to accept Jesus the Christ as mediator between man and God because we have wandered so far from the understanding of the spiritual law that is necessary that we have the way pointed out to us and the law of righteousness demonstrated before us so that we know the law and use the law. So Jesus demonstrated and taught the law and its use to us, and so therefore we need to study the life of Jesus so that we can assimilate and incorporate those lessons that he demonstrated for us. Well, Micah gives us a picture of peace in chapter 4. And I want to say again, how is peace established on earth? Warring thoughts in us are from the ignorant and animal nature that we all have. When the spiritual man, which we all have, is unfolded in consciousness and the understanding is established that in spirit there is inexhaustible supply of every good thing and all good thoughts, of course, then selfishness will disappear. And with it, ambition and strife for the possession of material things, which are the primal causes of war. If we look at the causes of all wars, they are about acquiring something. They are about adding to whatever material thing we have, we want more of. It is about feeling better than someone else. It's tremendously selfish, and it's about our ambitions. And, of course, violence is the methodology that is used, and we are beginning to see as a planet and as a species, human species, that this does not get you anything except casualties and more disturbance, etc. So just about all of us are about really getting world peace. And so let's look at our text and let's see that how this text gives us some answers that we need to either study or assimilate into our mentality and into our spiritual growth. Now, verse 5 says in chapter 4, "For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." I got the wrong verse. Sorry about that. It's up at verse 1, chapter 4. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it." So one of the questions is, what is the metaphysical meaning of the establishment of Jehovah's house on top of the mountain? Now, Jehovah's house is the body. We are temples of the living God, as Reverend Mary Lou said. And the mountains are the higher brain centers. And the top of the mountain is the spiritual brain at the very apex of our cranium. And so that's our brain right at the top. And when man cultivates spiritual thoughts, the top brain is exalted above the hills, and the whole consciousness of people, thoughts, shall follow it. When we have formed the consciousness of the reality of spirit in us, what follows? The Christ will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. So this question is, the answer to the question is really saying that spirit, the Spirit of God in the Christ itself, himself, will teach us the ways and we will walk in his path. We go on to another question in verse 2. What is the meaning of, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem"? Well, Zion is the holy city. And Zion was a fortified rock in Jerusalem, right next to in the city of David, Zion. And it symbolizes the faith center in the top of the brain called the pineal gland. So we have that pineal gland up there by our in our cranium, where we have our spiritual self. And from the center, from this center, goes forth the spiritual law and the word. Now, Jesus said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I know we're all familiar with that verse. And he also said to Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And this indicates that the binding and loosing power of the word expressed through faith. So Peter, of course, is the symbol of faith. And so when we are actually building, using our word, we are using our faith to speak the words that will manifest in our real world. And so we have these keys of the kingdom. When we are speaking from our Zion center, that is the key to that's the middle in our spiritual center, which is also mental, it's also intellectual. But when that is nourished and that is flourishing, it is a simply magnificent, magnificent thing. But faith is a very necessary piece too. And so here we're seeing the 12 powers of man that we study, one of them which is faith, one of them which is power. We speak of the spoken word has power. But thoughts thought in faith go before speaking and go before they materialized. And so faith in God is established in man. So through our faith, what will be what about war? How does war, our faith and all of this spirituality that we have, how is that related to war? Well, the judgment of God will be the standard between many people and will decide. And now when we get into the part of the verse, it says, and will the faith will decide concerning strong nations afar off. Another thing, too, we're not just talking about our spiritual self and our material self. We are talking about the material self. All of the thoughts that we have, all of the thoughts that we have in our mentality will be colored by our faith, will be nourished by our faith. So those thoughts will not totally disappear, but through our evolution, through our study, through our praying, through our intention of being being an example of peace inside and outside, through this we will be able to attract other people and all nations. All of our thoughts will be transmuted into positive thought, so that when we say they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, nation shall not lift up swords against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Our internal conflicts will be absolutely resolved. And so with no internal conflicts, we can live in peace, we can walk in peace, we can be attracted to others who have the same intention, and we will become the peace that we desire. And so this universal peace consciousness will spread, but it spread through us. One of the things that we must understand is that God is not going to just establish peace in the world. No. We individuals are responsible. Each group of people is responsible for the establishment of world peace. So, therefore, what state of society is understood in which nation shall not lift up their sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore? The prophecy foresees a time when nations will have outgrown the military spirit and discarded it as definitely as the present age has left the Stone Age behind. We have left the Stone Age behind. We are in an entirely different worldview, mentality, etc. And so we don't even remember the Stone Age. So there will be no reminders of military spirit, and all implements of war will be transformed into the tools of peace. And so you notice that we're not talking about destruction of anything, really. We're talking about transformation. And just as the Bible verse says, that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So as far as peace is concerned, it is going to be a spiritual/mental work for us to do personally. And although we know that protests and peace talks and all of the work of setting peace in motion, those things are important, but the most important piece is let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. And it must begin with us metaphysically. It must begin with us spiritually, within each one of us. And so we have to be looking at our personal lives, looking at our thought lives, and seeing where there is negativity. And that negativity must be replaced with that which is of God, that which is of peace and joy, and more than anything, of love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. So in, I have finished that, but I just want to say that in this discussion here, we must keep that beautiful prophecy in mind that Micah has given us, where we can look forward to those days when peace will truly reign all over the entire planet, but it begins with us. And I just wanted to say, I wanted to just read that again. We've heard it so many times, but we certainly need to hear it again. He shall judge between many peoples. Excuse me. And rebuke strong. Mary Lou, would you read that for me? verse 3.
Yes, yes, I could. Yeah, so in chapter 4, verse 3, he will settle disputes among the nations, among the great powers near and far, and they will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. And then in verse 4, it goes, everyone will live in peace among their own vineyards and fig trees, and no one will make them afraid. The Lord Almighty has promised this. So,
for all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And so that's talking about the eternal peace, and that will be ours. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. I hope that everybody will read these two chapters, contemplate them, and certainly take them into your consciousness so that in your own personal lives, when you review your ways of thinking and doing, especially the ways of thinking, we can change all of those negatives to positives so that we can literally, and it is possible for us to live in a society, in a place of peace and contentment and great, 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 great love. And so it is. And so it is. And so,
Reverend, it is.
Uh-huh. Sister Elva, we're going to ask you for some comments and some light on this that we've gone through here.
Yes. Ask me for comments. My comment is ditto. I believe with everything. I believe everything that has been said so far. I mean, I don't have too much more to say other than that. It's all been said as far as I'm concerned. You know, we really have to renew our minds, or if we want a change. We really do have to understand that this change begins in our mind, in our thoughts, in our thinking, because our thoughts create our world. You know, what we see in the outer world is a result of what we're thinking, our consciousness. And so this is where we have to begin. And this is what I hear, you know, these readings saying. These scriptures saying is, you know, it's got to begin in the mind. And once we start thinking and agreeing according to the law of love, which is synonymous with peace, because in my church, this is what we sing. Sometimes, you know, some church, most churches sing "Let there be peace," but we sing "Let there be love," because love and peace is synonymous. And so, when that love comes, that's going to be the healer. That love is going to conquer for us this war, this fight that we're in, and that we've been in, it seems like, for a long time. And we'll be able to move into that, from that mountain into that valley, that place of peace. And we can sing with new meaning. There will be peace in the valley for me. And we can say that with new meaning. That's it.
Okay, well, I think one of the things for me in this was that when we think of peace on earth, everybody is thinking of protesting, of negotiations, of making rules or keeping people from attacking other people and all of that. You know, it's all out there. I don't hear anywhere of people talking about changing their way of thinking, except for New Thought people. And I haven't even heard them that much, but, you know, that's because I'm not in a congregation, I guess. But this is at hand. People are thinking that, well, if we have a rule that this force cannot do that, or if we arrest all of the people who are fomenting coups and all of this, then we'll be able to do it. All of the outside things are not working, will not work. I love the Bible's telling us that it must begin with us. It must. Peace is already an established fact because our Creator is peace. Our Creator is love. And so, therefore, all of these outside things that we're doing are done in the name of peace and in the name of love. I can't say that none of them are working. Of course, violence, we know, does not work. The other things are beneficial, but the nitty-gritty is it begins with each one of us. And so, therefore, we must look within ourselves. We must look in our mentality. Each one of us has a spiritual self, and each one of us has a material self. And therefore, they are very often at war with themselves. So what's the war within you? I don't know. You don't know what the war is within me either. And so therefore, I have to put that together and resolve that. Just as the 10 tribes and Judah and Benjamin were at odds with each other, they have to come together. They have to reconcile. I have to reconcile my true self. And therefore, the only reconciliation that is offered here by Fillmore is the Christ consciousness. The Christ consciousness is the reconciliation. Yes.
Yes. I don't know if you are familiar with Marianne Williamson.
Yes, I am.
But she's one of the candidates that's running for president
mm-hmm.
of the United States of America.
Okay.
And I've gone to some of her rallies or talks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She did speak one Sunday here at Howard University.
Okay.
Here in D.C. And Marianne, that's her message. And I heard her say once, I think that was when she ran the first time, that she would create a department of peace. Because she understands this concept that we're talking about here. It has to begin in the mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. nothing that, you know, you can send a missile or shoot, you know, with a gun or whatever else, or whatever they're planning
mm-hmm.
to fight with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, that's not her message. And this is why she doesn't get the attention. Everybody thinks that she's, you know, kind of like
crazy.
Oh, the mark.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
The mark. But this is our message. This is our message that, you know.
Okay. I'm gonna Google her.
Yeah, and yeah, if you can, some of her speeches or something, you know, if you can get some, you know, get a hold of some of those speeches she makes,
mm-hmm.
or see her in an interview or something, that's what
yes.
she talks about. And usually nobody, they just sit there and look at her like.
I know. I did hear her briefly. No, I'm laughing because I did hear her briefly. It must have been for not Trump or whatever. But, our theme is playing. But I am going to Google her because
this is a radical
idea.
It is true.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. And it's the only thing that's going to work.
And that's
hello.
What
yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to get in touch with Mary Ann. So thank you very much, Alva.
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and so hey, we're gonna be doing this because this is a radical thing. Okay, all right, things are gonna get better. Yeah, they're gonna get better. God is in control. Amen. 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 Amen.
God is in control.
At Raising Cane's, we're hyper-focused on being the best at what we do and getting it right every time. It's our one love. But is the hype real? Yeah, it's real good. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
It's fun. finally Black Friday.
Isn't it Black Friday?
Nope. At BJ's Wholesale Club, it's Black Friday. And it's on now with up to 40% off TVs and tech.
Oh, yay.
And buy one, get one 50% off on toys like Barbie and Hot Wheels.
Yay and yay.
Plus, limited time doorbusters.
Another yay. Oh, I see.
Get your holiday shopping done now with Black Friday deals at BJ's. Valid through 11/27. Terms apply. Not a member? Join today. Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday. BJ's. Absurdly simple savings.